Open up to Galatians 5:16. We're going to talk on overcoming sin part two tonight. Let me tell you, you can be right with God if you're saved, or if you, some people don't know what saved means. If you've received Jesus and believe that he was raised from the dead and have given him the reins, the steering wheel of your life, not that you're perfect, then you have received forgiveness, salvation, you are born again, and therefore your spirit is right with God. But how many of you know there are two other parts of you that need to be right with God? Isn't that right? Your spirit can be born into the family of God, but there's a mind problem that we have. And there's a flesh, body problem that we have. And we're responsible for those parts of ourselves as well. And so what we're talking about is not how to get our spirit in line. We've already talked about receiving Jesus and our spirit being in line. But now how do we, as a spirit, deal with our mind and our body to get ourselves to be free from sin? Now, what I'm not talking to you about is how to be perfect. Okay? Now, not that you shouldn't attempt to do that. That's obedience to God. That's what we strive for, is to be right before the Lord. But what I'm talking about is how to get free from the claws, the hooks, the chains, the bondages of sin. You know, lust. How many of you know that lust in our culture is one of the most common bondages in Christians and non-Christians? Isn't that right? You get hooked on pornography. You get hooked on men or women. I mean, live pornography. How many of you know just the way that some people dress is pornographic? You know, one thing that bothers me is some of the new stuff we got going. Everybody's wearing the thongs now. And at the same time, the thongs are so popular. So are the real low-cut pants. So you sit down, you see these strings hanging out. How many of you know that's not healthy for our society? Is that right? That's not healthy. Now, ladies might say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is that guys are very visual. That's the big deal. And I know that lots of ladies have done it ignorantly and not realized, because nobody's telling, hey, you know, you're hanging out there. You know, now guys deal with those things. You know, if I saw my brother's drawers hanging out, let me tell you something. Instant wedgie right there. I'm telling you, if I can get a hand on it, it's going up as high as I can yank it. And if I can hang you on a tree, I'll do it. I'm telling you. But, you know, people dress like that in our society. They do these kinds of things, showing as much as they can, or showing off. You can have things covered, but accent it, highlight it. You know what I'm talking about? It's a cultural thing of drawing attention to parts of our body that make us feel good, maybe, but it's not helpful with people trying to overcome the flesh. And we need to overcome the flesh. Isn't that right? So lust is a predominant sin that people struggle with. How many of you know drugs and alcohol? These are common things that, man, once they get a hold of you, it's not easy to get free. But I'm going to show you tonight, you can. And there's no reason why you shouldn't. You can, if you will. Are you listening to me? Anybody can. I don't care how weak you think you are. Anybody can be free. How many of you know that eating falls into this category? Because, see, it's the flesh. We like food. And so you can eat yourself to death, either quickly or slowly. Right? How many of you know that overcoming sin sometimes is selfishness? Destroy your marriage to be always about you. Destroy your friendships. Always about you. That's selfishness. And selfishness destroys your life. That's sin. That's not the way the kingdom of God works, right? See, let me tell you, some people think sin is so fun. Sin always kills. We studied that last week. Is that right? Sin always brings death. Sin always brings death. And so we're talking about being free from sin, and we got two issues. One is just sinning. The other is a bondage that'll come on you because of an evil spirit. Now, let's look at this here in Galatians and start here. And it's a good thing we waited a week to finish this, because I cut the 7 steps that we had down to 5 steps. But didn't eliminate any information. It's just all in those 5. It's just jammed in there. But we cut it down to 5. So it should be a lot faster, right? Come on, say right. A lot faster. Galatians, I heard somebody, right. Yeah, right. Galatians chapter 5. Let me give you the first step that we said. Here's five steps, and there are multiple things in these, but five overriding categories. Number one, to be free from sin. Listen, number one, repent, confess, and renounce sin quickly. Repent, confess, and renounce sin quickly. That means when you mess up, say something about it. Don't walk around feeling guilty for 3 days. Don't not talk to God because you think he's mad at you. Listen, he knew you were going to sin before you did. If you're gonna think that way, then even when you get right with God, start feeling guilty because he already knows what you're going to do wrong next. Isn't that right? As soon as you sin, as soon as you're saying, oh, I'm in sin, open your mouth and say, God, this is sin. I receive forgiveness by the blood of Jesus because Jesus paid for it. See, it's already guaranteed to you, but until you confess it to God as being wrong in sin and out of alignment with him, it doesn't. Jesus' blood covers sin. Let me say it this way. Jesus' blood covers sin. Until you say it's sin, it doesn't get covered. You understand? As long as you justify it, well, no, that I was just, you know, I just, it was a lie. Well, yeah, but the reason I lied, yeah, but you lied. And as long as you don't call it a lie, or you're justifying and saying it's not sin, then it doesn't get covered. You understand? Though it was already paid for, you're not allowing it to go under the crucifixion clause and be covered by the blood of Jesus because you're holding it back and acting like it's not sin. And the Bible says if you say you don't have sin, then you make God a liar and the truth is not in you. So, instantly, repent, turn around, confess your sin, and renounce it and say, God, I don't want any part of that. Even if your mind says, yeah, but you know you're going to slip back into that, because how many of you know our minds do that? You still, with your mouth, verbally renounce it and say, God, I do not want this in my life. I'm confessing it. I receive your forgiveness, and I'm asking for your strength to get out of this. That's number one. Step number two is to reckon or recognize or consider your body dead to sin but alive to God. Consider your body dead to sin but alive to God. And you remember we talked about a corpse laying in a casket. Well, you can tempt him all you want. You know, he's laying there, and you can say, you want this Twinkie, don't you? Huh? How many of you know he doesn't open his eyes? Why? Because he's dead. That's why. And we need to, the Bible says, think of yourself dead to sin, but alive to God. In other words, I'm only alive, and I only have moving parts to do righteousness now. But my parts do not move towards sin any longer because that old guy, that old gal that sinned was nailed to the cross with Jesus. I died with him. Somebody says, yeah, but I really didn't. Shut up. Because God said, when you received Jesus as Lord, you also received his death, and it gets credited to you as being dead. Tell your body you're no longer alive to sin. You died with Jesus. Now you're alive to God. See, because your body won't know it. You as the Spirit tell your body and begin to think of yourself as alive to God. Begin to think in your mind. Consider yourself alive to God. Now, playing off of that, Galatians chapter 5, come down to verse 16. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Read that with me, would you? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's a real simple concept, but it's telling you, instead of saying, I'm not going to sin, 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 stop thinking about what you're not going to do, and think about what you are going to do. Walk in the Spirit. Don't try not to sin. Try to do what you're supposed to do. And you won't be doing what you're not supposed to do. How many of you know, if you go into your house, if you walk into the kitchen, you won't be in the bedroom? Is that right? That's why when you get into boot camp gives you a guideline of things to do for a certain number of weeks. And while you're busy doing those things, you don't have time to do things that you used to do. Now, of course, some things that you used to do are good things, right? And boot camp kind of, you know, consumes some of that depending on your schedule. But there are a whole lot of things that were dragging you down, feeding you with the wrong information, and allowing your flesh to partake and to continue to be hooked on things. And all of a sudden, if you'll follow the disciple guidelines for that period of time, then while you're busy doing something, you don't realize that you're not doing something else. Nobody stops sleeping till they wake up. Isn't that right? You can't just stop doing something. You've got to start doing something else. Somebody said, I'm going to stop walking. You can't stop walking till you start standing. You got to start doing something. So if you're just going to sit there and twiddle your thumbs, I'm not going to sin. Oh, yes, you are. Because you haven't replaced it with a new walk. You've got a brand new life, and what the Word says is walk in your new life. Stop thinking about not doing something and start thinking about doing something. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He goes on to say, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Now, when it capitalizes the word S here, that may or may not be a capital. Now, the translators added that, trying to determine, is that Holy Spirit or is that our spirit? I tend to believe that it's our spirit. Your flesh wars against your spirit. But, of course, since we're saved and the Holy Spirit's in there, then our spirit and the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, have become one spirit, so really it doesn't matter. But listen to the concept. The concept is you've got two different worlds trying to control what you pay attention to. And the Word is teaching us, stop thinking of the part of you that used to serve sin and start thinking of the part of you that is now alive to God. See, I'm a man of God. I'm a woman of God. I am somebody that God is going to use today. See, start thinking about what God is going to do through you. Start thinking about the forgiven part of you. And as you're thinking about your spirit and how you're right with God, and what you're going to do as a spirit person today, as a person alive to God, you don't realize that you forgot to sin. You understand? You forgot to sin because you were focusing on the spirit part of you and not the flesh. All right, now let me give you number three. Number three is fill yourself with the Word. Fill yourself with the Word. Say it again. Fill yourself with the Word. Do what? Fill means that when you're done, then you are full. Full. Fill yourself with the Word. Fill yourself with the Word. Now, if you're full of the Word and some pressure gets put on you, what comes out? Is that true? If I just come up and poke you with my finger, what comes out? Well, whatever you're full of. How many of you know that's true? You put pressure on people, you're going to find out what they're full of. Is that right? See? Okay, so if you want to be free from sin, then what you do is you fill yourself with what you want to come out in your life under pressure. And if you're not full of the Word, you'll be full of something else. You will. Now look at John chapter 8. John chapter 8. What step is this? Fill yourself with the Word. Say it. Fill yourself with the Word. John chapter 8, Jesus is teaching here and speaking to the Jews who believed him. Verse 31, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if, everybody say if. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Shall do what? Make you free. You will be free if. Is that right? Is that what he said? You will be free if. Not if God loves me. Not if he helps me. Not if he answers my prayer. No, you will be free. Not if you're not tempted today. No, you will be free if. If you abide in my word, the word abide means to live. If you live in my word, if you live in my word, live in it, roll around in it, so to speak, wallow in it, dive into it, exist in it, walk in it. If you abide in my word, then you are my disciples. Now, a disciple is a disciplined follower of. A disciplined follower of. Or we could say it like this, a lookalike. He said, if you will live in my word, you're my lookalike. You're doing what I do. You're saying what I say. Your attitude is like my attitude. Disciple, see? If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And the truth, now listen to how powerful this is. The truth will make you free. You don't have to make yourself free. Are you listening to me? You do not have, it's not willpower. No, the truth will make you free. Let the truth do the work, right? Know what they say in golfing? Let the club do the work. I never listen to them. I want to hit it the farthest. And I normally do. And sometimes it gets on a fairway, not necessarily the one we're on. Put some might into it. But you know what? Let the truth do the work. But here's your job. Get the truth in. Fill yourself. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. There's no might, no possibility there. It is not even a probability. It is an absolute fact that if you fill yourself with the word, you'll know the truth, and that truth that you know will make you free. Let me give you an example. We've been talking about being right with God, the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, that's a truth. If you have received Jesus as your Savior, believe that he's the Son of God and died for your sins and was raised from the dead, then the Bible says you're saved. So your spirit has been born into God's kingdom. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. But did you know if you don't fill yourself with that truth, with the word of God that tells you that you're saved, you're born again, you're forgiven, God loves you, he's on your team. Did you know if you're not full of that, full of the word and the truth about that, then that truth will not make your mind and body walk in righteousness. Because your mind is still thinking about who you used to be and what you still struggle with, instead of thinking about the truth about who you now are. But if you could be convinced, because you're so full of the word, thinking, I'm the righteousness of God. I'm right with God, not because I didn't sin today. I may have sinned 14 times today. But the truth of what Jesus did for me and made my spirit a righteous spirit is rolling around inside of me right now and has overcome what I've done today, has overcome the guilt of what I've done today. You understand? In my mind is rolling around, I'm right with God. I'm a man of God or I'm a woman of God. Man, I'm right with God. And see, when that truth comes to knowledge in you and you wake up to it, then you're free from sin because you see yourself differently. And you're not thinking about that sin. You're thinking about who you really are, and you start to act like who you really are. I tell you, with my kids, I've noticed this with my kids, that they could be good at something like a certain subject in school and be frustrated with it because it's just not going well and they're having a tough time with it. And I'll notice that if I just come over and say, come on, what's the matter? Think. What's the matter with you? You're not doing it right. Why are you not doing it right? Come on, think, concentrate, let's go. If I do that, do you think they can think better? No. But if I can step back and say, chill, Dad, chill for a minute, chill, even though I'm irritated because, you know, they may be in la-la land. After I told them, you know, focus on your studies and every noise. What was that? What was that? What was that? You know, chill, Dad, chill. And take another look at this. Take another approach to this. Now, if I can come and say, you know what? You can do this. You can do this. You've got the brain power to do this. You're a smart kid. You're smart. And if I can sincerely say that and say it repeatedly in various ways until they begin to think about themselves, I can get this. I can get this. That truth, see, they had the potential's there all the time. But because they're saying it's too hard. But if I can get the truth across to them of their potential, and they begin to think, oh, I can whip this out. I can have this whole chapter done in 10 minutes and be done with it. If I can get that across to them and they really believe it, do you know the different approach that happens? They start going, this is what they do. Tie me, Dad. Tie me, Dad. Ready? Ready? Tie me, Dad. You got it? Now they're going to prove something because they know they can do this, even if they can't. Do you understand? They think they can. Well, let me tell you, you're changed when you receive Jesus as Lord. But until you fill yourself with the thinking of the Word and allow it to come into your heart and convince you that that's who you now really are, then you don't even try to walk in it. You're still trying to fight the flesh. You're still, I'm not going to do this. No, stop thinking about what you're not going to do. See, fill yourself with the Word and the truth about who you are, and the truth will make you free from that bondage of sin. And before you know it, you won't even really, if you're filling yourself with the Word, you won't know exactly when the freedom took place because you're not paying attention to it. Are you listening to me? You're not paying attention to the chains and am I still hooked here? No, you're not paying attention to that. You're paying attention to who you are now. And all of a sudden, you'll look back and realize somewhere way back there, those chains and hooks dropped off. And you know how it happened, but you're not exactly sure when the final one broke because you're paying attention to who you are, filling yourself with the Word of God. Psalm 119, verse 9, how can a young man cleanse his way? How do you clean your way up? By taking heed according to your Word. By taking heed according to your Word. The 11th verse says, your Word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Your Word I have hidden in my heart. Jesus said in John 17:17, as he was praying, Lord, he was praying for his disciples, sanctify them by the truth. Your Word is truth. See, so the Word of God, the Bible, is truth. So if you want to get set apart, sanctify means to set apart. If you want to get set apart from sin, then it happens through this book. It's like these words, listen, I'm saying it's not, but it's like these words are magic words. Now, the reason I say it's not magic, because God's power is far beyond what we would call magic. Okay, this is not Disney magic here. This is the power of the Almighty God. But just to get it in your head, these words are like magic words. They're not just like self-help principles where you're standing in front of that mirror and psyching yourself up. I'm successful. I'm good looking. I can do this. I'm confident. It's not just that. This is not mind over matter. These are words of absolute truth that pierce through whatever temporary state you're in. Because, see, these words came from the heart and the mouth of God Almighty. And the power that God released when he said, let there be light, and the whole atmosphere became bright and pierced through the darkness. This is the same God speaking his same words out. And now what we're doing is pulling and receiving these powerful words with the faith of God behind them into our souls, and it pierces the darkness of our souls. Can you see that? So it's not just positive words. It's the words out of the heart and faith and power of God. You didn't get that, did you? Did you get it? Listen, it's not just positive words. You can't just, somebody said, well, those self-help programs, they really work. Well, they do. They work to a point, but you don't have the power of God behind it. You still only are limited to natural power, but you can get some results off of natural power and mind power and changing your mind, absolutely. But when you take the words of God from the Word of God, the Bible, now all of a sudden, the Bible, like the Bible says, the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. It goes so much deeper and farther. It goes into the spirit realm, so that where self-help programs and things can get your mind thinking differently and get you moving differently and being more confident and understanding people skills more and doing all kinds of positive things, what it cannot do is go into the spiritual atmosphere and break the spiritual power over your life that the enemy has. It is weak in that regard. So it's only a limited mind change. But see, the truth of God's word not only goes into the spiritual realm, but it brings your mind all the way up, not just to a better way of thinking, but the right way of thinking, that is an eternal way of thinking. Are you catching this? It's the truth, not just true, not just positive. It's the truth. This is the word of God. Amen. So, third is fill yourself with the word. Fill yourself with the word. Everybody say this out loud. And then we're going to go right into this next step. Everybody say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm a child of God. I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I'm righteous. I'm free. I'm changed by God. And the word of God in my heart makes me free. I don't make myself free. I just live in the word and bring the word inside me. And that word, as I know it, makes me free. Now, let's just stop there for a minute. How do you fill yourself with the word? That's probably something good to touch on. Well, I'll tell you how one way that I do it, and apparently you do it, and that is come to church where somebody actually opens the Bible and teaches what it says. That's one way to fill yourself with the word, right? Another way is the daily reading of the word that we do with the Solid Life Journal reading and such. Just reading the Bible every day, even if it doesn't seem like it's making a difference, don't pay any attention to seems like. It's making a difference. It's making a difference. You know, you can go to the gas station and put that nozzle in and squeeze that handle, and you're like, it doesn't seem like it's making it. How would you know? It's down inside there. You can't see what's going on down inside there. And you may even go up and look at your gas gauge up on the dash, and it hasn't changed. Well, you got the engine off. Right? How many of you know you can find out how or if your tank is full of gas another way besides that gauge? Is that right? Even if your gauge was broken, how could you find out if your tank's full? Keep pumping it in there. And you know what it'll do when it gets full? It'll kick back out of the mouth. Is that right? See, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your mouth speaks what's in your heart. Somebody says something that, I don't know where that came from. I do, it came from your heart. Is that right? And we act all surprised. I don't know where that came from. We do. It came from you. We heard it. Right out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somehow or another, that got down in there. That's what's in there. But when you get full of the Word of God, and when you're around people that have been filling themselves with the Word of God, listening to tapes in the car and CDs of the Word of God going in, reading their Bible, coming to church, and then in conversation, talking the word. You know what happens? You get around them, and it doesn't matter what subject you bring up. Here comes the word. And you're thinking, man, these guys are like weird. Everything relates to the word. You know why? Because they're full of it. But I tell you what else you'll notice about those people. They're free. They're free. Because the word, the truth makes you free. See? Amen. All right. Number four, speak the word. Speak the word. Look at James 3. We read this morning, if you're reading the full Bible track. Some of you, I know, are reading the New Testament track. If you're not reading any track, now would be a good time to start. James chapter 3. What a good book. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Let's move on real quick. Now that's the truth. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many things. Now notice this. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect or mature man, able also to bridle the whole body. That is so powerful. Let me say it a different way. If anyone doesn't stumble in what he says out of his mouth, if anyone can speak the right thing out of his mouth, he is a mature person and has the ability to control his body. Whether it be eating or whether it be sexual things, lust or drinking or drugs or attitudes, the way you treat people. You can control your body if you could get your mouth to say the right things. Isn't that what he said? Look at it again. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. In other words, if you can get yourself to speak right, you can get yourself to do right. If you can get yourself to speak the right things, your body will follow your tongue. If you're talking things that you shouldn't talk, your body will do things that it shouldn't do. You can't just stand around with a bunch of guys and see some lady walking by, oh, she's got a nice this and a nice those, and expect not for your body not to struggle with those things that you're talking about. You can't stand around and talk about worldly things, partying and such, and expect your body to stay in line. You've got to keep your mouth speaking the right thing, speaking the word of God, speaking the way to live the right way. Now, look at the principle. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. How many of you know, compared to the size of the horse, that bit is very small? But if you take the reins and move the bit, jerk it to the right, that whole big horse body goes to the right. Is that true? He goes on to say, look also at ships, although they are so large, huge, big cruise ships, and are driven by fierce winds. So not only do you have the power, strength, might, and weight of the ship and the engines, but also he says, and they are driven by fierce winds. Obviously, he's referring to sailboats. Driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue. Are you catching the principle? Somebody said, well, I'm struggling with this. You're struggling with this. So you're not full of the word to where it's kicking back out of your mouth. You're still talking something else. And as long as you're talking something else, you're living something else, right? Oh, is that chocolate? Oh, I love chocolate. Oh, that's my weakness. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? Is that the word? Well, I'm only saying that because it's true. But it's true because you're saying it. So you don't realize that there's a powerful principle. God set your body up and the system up to follow your mouth. So that's why all these self-help programs and such, they're so effective because they found these God-built-in systems and they come and tell you to speak this way and you begin to go that way. And to a point, they're very helpful. Very helpful. So it's not bad to get some help from those because they're teaching the Bible principles. Look, there it is right there. There it is, right? There's the principle right there. Speak and say, I'm successful, I'm confident, see? And it makes a difference because you begin to think that way and such. But it's limited because it only goes into mind power. If you want to break spiritual bondages and do spiritual damage to the kingdom of darkness and allow the kingdom of God to be expanded through you, you have to get into spiritual words, not just mental words. See, these are spirit words that came from the heart of God. So the principle here is your body follows your tongue. Say that with me. My body follows my tongue. Say it again. My body follows my tongue. Now let me give you an example in the negative. Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17. And come down to verse 20. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 20. 17:20 says, he who has a deceitful heart finds no good, and he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. He who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Now, we talked about some of these things on Sunday night with the How Far Is Too Far. And for those of you that would like to get those principles on tape, talking specifically about purity and sexual things, then get that and feed on those passages and scriptures. It goes right along with what we're talking about here with overcoming sin, but deals specifically with the sexual area. Notice, he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. Oh, but it's just funny, you know, and hey, you know, this is kind of, you know, well, just don't say anything about this, but there was this guy. You need to know, you cannot talk perversity and live free from lust. It will not happen. In fact, look at it again. You don't think it's right? Listen to what God says. He who has a perverse tongue falls. He who has a perverse tongue falls. I remember a guy this guy was a married guy, had a beautiful wife, had several beautiful children. And I'd hang out and talk. He went to church and everything was going good. And all of a sudden I started hearing his speech change. And he began to talk about how his wife just wasn't taking care of herself. I said, what do you mean? Well, you know, she just put on a little weight. Well, she had a kid. She had a baby. Yeah, but you know, it's been a little while here. And I thought, listen to his mouth talk. And as his mouth began to talk, his heart began to look elsewhere. See, and his body started following his tongue. And he began to talk about the difference between his wife and somebody that was just skinny mini, all into how they looked. Not necessarily the good quality mother to children and faithful wife, but they had the look. So he got focused and started talking about these things because his heart wasn't full of the word. And all of a sudden, guess what happened? It wasn't long. He left his wife. He's with some other lady. Miserable. Miserable. He thought he got what he wanted, and he didn't. He got death is what he got. Lost the good stuff that he had, that God had given him. I'm telling you, and later regretted it. It was bad. But see, his mouth started talking something that was wrong. You cannot allow your mouth to start talking the wrong thing. You got to keep your mouth speaking the truth, speaking the good things in life. So if you're walking around saying, oh, I love chocolate. Let me tell you this. Here's a little adjustment now. I like the AA programs, and I appreciate, man, they have thousands and tens of thousands and probably hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people have been helped by that. But let me tell you a little adjustment that the Word of God makes from that program. And that is, the Word of God does not encourage you, after you've come to Jesus and been cleansed and forgiven and free, to say, I am an alcoholic. Now, let me tell you, I understand why that is an important step, not to be in denial. See, that's important, not to deny a problem. See, so what I'm not doing is putting that program down. Thank God for all the people that have been helped in that. But what the Bible is saying is there's another higher level, but it won't work in AA. I don't suggest they change it. This works with the power of the truth of the Word of God. It will not work with a positive confession that I'm no longer an alcoholic. No. Don't try it. No. But when you have the power of the Word, see, and you begin to speak God's Word into the atmosphere, God's Word is so powerful that the chains of bondages regarding alcoholism are broken by the power of God. And so what God is encouraging us to say is, I was an alcoholic. I have been saved by grace. I have been forgiven and cleansed by the blood of Jesus. And now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. That's not who I am anymore. See? And the power of the Word of God brings all those things that you just said to pass. See, this is the difference between just positive confession and thinking and the power of the Word of God. The Word of God has the power to propel you out of whatever it is that you were stuck in. See? So this is another level of freedom. Now, let me give you an example on the positive. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do it." See, don't let it depart from your mouth, but meditate. Meditate in the Bible doesn't just mean thinking. It means to ponder by speaking it. Hebrew meditation is a verbal meditation. You're muttering it to yourself. It's the cow chewing the cud concept there. And you're just going over it and muttering it. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm born again. I'm a man of God. I'm a new creation in Christ Jesus. You're muttering and saying it. And the power of speaking and hearing and speaking in that cycle that goes on with truth, with words that are already anointed and, I'll use this again, spiritually magic words. They change things. They change things. They free you. And the enemy has no authority to grab you again as long as those words of God are flowing. See? So this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but rather you shall meditate, speaking and thinking, day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Isn't that good? Not my will. Let me tell you, what I'm teaching you tonight is a guaranteed approach to be free from anything and to walk in the truth. Guaranteed. Guaranteed, if you're willing to do it, though. But if you've got better things to do, are you listening to me? If you got better things to do, well, I tell you what I'll do. I'll fill myself up half with the Word and half with perverse jokes and perverse TV. And secular music that talks about love from a worldly standpoint. I can't figure out why I'm not free. Because you're half full of the Word and half full of it. Is that right? So when the pressure comes on, well, you get some Word out and you may have had some success, as you will. If the word will work. Even if it's only 30-fold, it'll work. Right? It'll work. But it'll only work 30%. See, that's why fill yourself with the Word. Fill it with the Word. Keep it going all the time. Man, I tell you what, when I was wanting to get free, I just had it going all the time. I still have it going about all the time now. Because I not only want to be free from sin, which I am, thank the Lord, but I want to launch into the things that God has for me. And so that means I got to be free from insecurities. And I've got to be free from low self-esteem and fear and doubt and worry and anxiety and all that. Man, I've got to be out there in the things of God, knowing that even through somebody like me, when I speak, the power of God goes into operation. See, and how do you get that? You get that by being filled with the Word in regards to those areas. And the faith comes in, and bam, you're moving at a whole different level now. See? So speak the Word. Speak the Word. Talk the Word all the time. Just take a quick inventory of yourself. How often during the day on non-church days do you speak the word? I'm not suggesting that you be weird and when you're, you know, you're if you're a salesman and you're out, you know, selling something, that you're saying, well, you know, the word says. That's not what I'm suggesting. But I'm saying as you're walking up to the meeting, you're saying, thank you, Lord, that everything I put my hand to prospers. I'm the righteousness of God. See what I'm saying? And you walk in, and even though you're not saying that directly to them, you're dealing with the product and the business at hand. In your mind is rolling around, but this is the righteousness of God dealing with this business. There's a new level of confidence. I know who I am. God's working with me now. See, because you were meditating in the car, and you were talking it as you walked up. It'll change everything for you. Change everything. See, your body will follow your tongue. All right, number five. Resist the devil in his lies. Resist the devil in his lies. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Resist the devil and his lies. Matthew chapter 12. I'm telling you, some of you, because of what we're teaching right now, are going to be free from the bondages of lust and pornography, going to be freed from drugs and alcohol, going to be freed from gluttony. Nothing wrong with having a piece of cake sometimes. Do you understand? I'm not talking about never eating anything. Your body was designed to be able to handle a little bit, but not the bondage of indulgence to where if you stop and track yourself every day, you're porking out on junk. That's a bondage. Is that right? That's a bondage. We ought to be able to say no. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus had cast a demon out of someone, and the Pharisees came and said, he's casting demons out by Beelzebub, the ruler of demons. And Jesus makes this statement in this context in verse 29. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man and then he will plunder his house? How can you go into, think about some buff guy and you walk into his house and you're going to steal his big screen TV and there he is standing in the living room. How many of you know you're going to have to take care of business before you grab that TV? Is that right? You got to figure out how do I take this guy down first, because if I grab this TV, he's going to grab me. So I got to do something with him. Well, you know what? If Satan has his claws in you and you are spiritually bound and addicted to something, then you can't just walk in. Oh, yeah, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. Jesus said, first bind the strong man. Deal with him. And then you can plunder his house. Somebody said, well, it's not his house. No, but he's come in and taken territory there. He set up shop. How many of you know he's called a thief? Doesn't mean he has it rightfully, but he has it. It's in his possession. So what do you got to do? You got to take him down first. I'm taking you out first, and then I'm taking my stuff back. That's my TV anyway. Right? Okay. So how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? So first bind the strong man. Somebody said, well, how do I do that? Well, let me give you some background quickly. Luke 10:19 is where Jesus says, behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. I give you the authority. I give you the authority. How many of you know there's a difference between authority and power? Right? You stick a policeman out in the middle of the street with a white glove, and he holds his hand up, he's got the authority to stop all traffic. Is that right? Does he have the power? No, you can run that dude down. Is that right? You can run him down. Now, if he goes and he contacts the National Guard or the Army and they roll out a tank, now they got the power to stop you, blow you out of the road. Is that right? But the policeman really didn't need the power, though the power would back him if they had to. but he has the authority to take you and your 2-3-ton vehicle and get it out of the way. Stop it in its tracks just by holding that hand up. Let me tell you something. You may not feel all that powerful, but if you're saved, you've got the authority in the name of Jesus to speak into the spirit realm with all of heaven's power backing you, and Satan better stop when you hold your hand up. See? So, though you may have been bound in an addiction and sin for many years, when you come and say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, see, that's where the authority is. They used to say, stop in the name of the law, right? Well, that's what we're doing, except for we're using the name above every name. In the name of Jesus, Satan, I bind you and I command you to stop your lies and stop what you're doing against me. Loose me in Jesus' name. See, you're taking authority. Isn't that what Jesus did when somebody was demon-possessed and had some problems, sometimes physical problems? And he would say, be quiet and come out of him. Notice he said. See, that's how you release authority in spiritual things. You don't think it. And in fact, there's a movie that's been out for a long time. And one time the demon-possessed kid was brought up and Jesus just stared him down. And he was doing all this stuff and then all of a sudden... And it was great that in film the boy was healed, but it irritated me that people are going to get the wrong message, that you give them the eye. No, he cast out spirits with a word. He said, be quiet and come out of him. It's not a look. See, you got to understand how it works. Open your mouth and say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, back off. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll do what? Flee from you. Well, what happens if you don't resist him? Well, how do you resist him? Where are you? No, that's not how you resist him. You resist him with words, like Jesus did. Be quiet and come out. That's what he did to demon-possessed people. Isn't that right? Verbally, with authority, he commanded them to do like a dog. Treated them like a dog. My dog tearing something up. I don't walk up and say, now, sweet thing. Now, precious, that's just not the right thing to do. Please stop. Please stop. God, tell him to stop. No, I walk up. If I get loud, I get their attention. Now, let me tell you, you don't necessarily have to get loud with spirits. You just have to speak with authority and faith and the name of Jesus. It's not volume, but it's meaning business. But Jesus treated him like a dog. Shut up. Get out. No politeness to it. Not going to be polite to a thief. Is that right? See? So, this is one of the steps to be free. You're going to have to resist the devil. If you're not resisting the thief that is holding you in bondage, who's going to do it? Well, I was hoping God would do it. Jesus has already died in your place and given you his name and said, use my name and cast them out. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. 1 Peter says, be sober and be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may. May means has permission to. Devour. And then it turns around and says, ask God to help you. Help God. No, that's not what he said. He said, resist him steadfast in the faith. How do you do that? You do it verbally. Satan, I'm telling you right now, in the name of Jesus, back off. Leave me alone. That works. Thank God. Now, let me tell you what another part of resisting the devil is. Resist his lies. Resist his lies. You remember we went over the passage in Romans 8:1 that says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Well, what happens if you sin, you mess up, you fell, you struggled, and all this condemnation starts coming on you? Well, wait a minute. If there's no condemnation, but yet you're feeling condemned, then it's a lie. Amen. But just because it's a lie doesn't mean you don't feel it. Condemnation will drive you back to sin because it makes you think about what a sinner you are instead of the word that you're righteous, see? And so what do? You've got to deal with that lie. You cannot let it sit on you with this guilty feeling. You cannot have that. You cannot walk around with a lie on your head and expect to walk in truth. You have to dispel that lie. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Verse 5 says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." An argument, something that argues with whether or not you're righteous. Something that argues with whether or not you're a man of God or a woman of God. Something that argues with whether or not you're free and forgiven. You understand? These arguments come to your head. What do you do with them? Cast them down. How do you do that? No, it's not a physical thing. What do? Arguments are words in your head. How many of you know arguments are words? We know that, right? Arguments come to our head. What do? What do you attack words with? Other words that overpower those words. The word. And so you cast it down and you say, "You lie of condemnation and guilt." And it answered right back. It's not a lie. You just sin. "Oh, I'm forgiven from all of my sins. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ." "Oh, yeah, I cast you guilt down. Get off of me. I'm not a guilty sinner. No, I'm the righteousness of God." And your head might say, "You just sinned 3 times today. The same old sin. Look at you. And you say, "What? I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm forgiven from all of my sin. God, you remember that?" And the Lord says, "Nope, I don't remember that. Nope." See, if you've already confessed it, bam, you're forgiven. The Bible says God doesn't remember anymore. Is that right? And the devil's like, "That ain't right. That ain't fair." God says, "I'm the judge. I don't remember. Where's the evidence?" "Well, I saw him." "Yeah, but you're a liar." Is that right? "We're not going to believe you. We already know you to be a liar and the father of it," the Bible says. See, so you declare God's word and attack those arguments and say, No, it doesn't matter how much evidence there is to prove that you should be condemned or guilty. No, see, Jesus already paid for it. See, what you're not doing is ignoring a problem. What you are doing is accepting a truth that what you just committed has already been covered and paid for under the blood of Jesus, and therefore you don't have to walk around and feel guilty for what's already been paid for. If I'm in Albertsons and I got all these groceries and you walk up and you shell out the cash and say, "I'm covering that for him." And I'm going to look at you and say, "Thank you, man. Gee, that was nice. Thank you." But I'm not going to walk out of the store with my groceries feeling guilty that I didn't pay. "I didn't pay for these. They're probably looking at me right now." No, they're not. It's been paid for. Just because you didn't pay doesn't mean they're not paid for. Is that right? Yeah. Don't feel guilty about something that's been covered. It's been covered. See? But don't walk around feeling guilty and condemned. That's a lie of the devil to get you to begin to think sinner again. I'm a sinner. No, you need to be free from that. So cast down those arguments and say, No, I'm free. I don't care if it was 3 seconds ago. Say, "I'm the righteousness of God." That's not who I am. Yeah, you may slip sometimes. You may fall sometimes. But that doesn't mean that's who you are. Just because you're in the garage doesn't make you a car. Is that right? Who you are comes from what God says you are. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. Amen. You got to get rid of that. Let me ask you something. If, If you hear something at the front door, and you reach over and grab the handle, open the door, and a pit bull jumps in and starts chewing on your leg, and you look over and see a bat in the corner, are you going to grab the bat and beat the dog, or are you going to beat yourself? See, Satan is ravaging our lives and trying to get us to beat on ourselves for what he's doing. Sin that he started in this world and is tempting us with and is pressuring us with and downing us constantly, belittling us, condemning us, getting us to go right back into the same old thing. He's tearing us up, ripping our confidence, ripping our joy of serving the Lord off, and then gets us to beat ourselves for it. What do we need to do? Beat the dog. Well, yeah, but I'm the one that opened the door. I don't care. What are you going to say? Chew away, man. It's my fault. Here, here's the other leg. He has no right to do what he does to families and to people, regardless of who opened the door. It is wrong what he does. The bondage. That is wrong for him to do that. Beat that dog. Beat his lies down. Take authority over him. And don't feel guilty about it a bit. He is wrong for the way that he takes advantage of you, tempts you, pressures you, sets you up for failure. Don't beat on yourself. Beat on him. Put the blame where it belongs. You've been bought with a price. You're covered already, but he's not. So take authority over him. Last one, avoid temptation and opportunity. Avoid temptation and opportunity. Look at Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Avoid temptation and opportunity. Galatians chapter 6. Oh, this is powerful. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. In other words, God has spoken that there is a system that you will reap what you sow. So if you're reaping a harvest and denying that you sowed, I didn't do nothing, man. I didn't do nothing. You've been keeping your mouth? I didn't say nothing, bro. Nothing. I didn't do nothing. I didn't look at nothing. I didn't. But yet you got this big harvest going on. And he says, don't be deceived, bro. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. I don't know why I got all this bondage of lust. It's because you've been sowing. You've been allowing things into your ears, allowing things into your eyes, allowing things out of your mouth. Don't be deceived. You cannot speak it. You cannot look at it. You cannot listen to it without the harvest coming up. I remember I was sitting in a church, a college career class. There were about 40 or 50 college students. And this guy was teaching the word, and I thought he was pretty good. But somebody asked a question. Now, you know, you're talking about, you know, sexual things. If we're watching a movie at home, and, you know, they start to get into sexual things, but it's not affecting us, you know, it's not, you know, we're not getting turned on or anything. I mean, should we shut it off? And the teacher said, I was waiting to see how he's going to respond to that. He said, well, you know what? You got to be able to judge yourself. And you got to know whether it's really getting to you or not. And if it's not getting to you, then you're okay. But if it's getting to you and you realize that, you know, it's doing something, it's arousing you, and it's tempting you, then you need to shut it off. And out of sheer respect. I did not jump up and say, that's a lie. That's a lie. God is not mocked. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. You may not reap it today. It may not be arousing you today. But if you sow it into your heart, through your eyes, through your ears, it will grow. It'll come back. It's a seed now. It doesn't seem like a big deal. I can compromise. I can listen. I can look. I can say it. I'm sowing it now. But it didn't bother me now. How many of you know the size of a seed is a lot bigger, is a lot smaller than what happens when the harvest time comes? And that one seed caused not only a stalk, but ears of corn. And you think, how did I get this? I only barely. It gets bigger as it harvests. See? And the word says, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. You sow it, you reap it. You're going to reap it. It's going to come back and haunt you. Don't compromise. Well, I'm okay. It didn't bother me. It's going to get you. Are you listening to me? Do not be deceived, brethren. God is not mocked. You are mocking God by saying, I can sow it and not reap it. You're mocking God. God said, you can't. You can't. God watches it go into your heart and watches the process of it being watered by a little some other compromise and being watered. And before you know it, oh, I don't know what happened. I know what happened. You happened. You didn't follow the principles of the word. That's what happened. Now, don't feel condemned about it. But admit and take responsibility for the fact that, you know what? I've let my mouth slip. I've let my ears slip. I've let my eyes slip. See, give no opportunity. Cut it off completely. If you take a 5-gallon bucket full of mud, and then you take a hose and of water, and you turn it on just a little bit, and a little drip's coming out, how long is it going to take to wash that bucket out, to flush it out? Years, right? Years. How fast do you want to be clean? Get a little something on weekend services. I'm just going to come once a week. Or when it's convenient. Right? And all during the week, we're filling that thing up with more mud. Now you turn that hose on full blast, and now it's splattering all over the place. It gets a little messy sometimes. It's splattering all over the place, but you realize the mud level is going down. And it's still muddy water. You don't see all the results yet, but something's happening, right? Now, go get a fire hose. So, all right, Hank, let her go full blast. You know, and you fight that thing and wrestle that thing. And, I mean, it's more work to do it. It's more work to do it. But let me tell you something. That stuff starts going all over the place. And it's going over your head, all over you, and it's a mess. But let me tell you, it won't take but minutes. Minutes. And that bucket will be clean, shooting out pure water. Is that right? Do you understand why? Because the word is clean. The word is truth. In Ephesians 5, Paul said, husbands, wash your wives with the water of the word. It's a cleansing agent. Wash, flood yourself. See? Give no opportunity. Just fill yourself with the word. No mud. All word. You know what happens? It won't be long, and you're completely clean and free from all of that stuff and full of something good. Amen. See? Don't give opportunity. Jesus said, pray, God, lead us not into temptation. Don't be a risk taker. Well, you know, I'm okay. I'm not going to do anything. Let me just get right up to the edge. And so you take a risk. And maybe today you didn't fall, but tomorrow it's like, see, I'm cool. I can be there. I can be there in temptation, right? And then the next day, and there's the devil going, oh, I don't know how that happened. I was doing so good. You were doing so stupid. Because you were allowing yourself in a place of temptation using no discretion. Discretion is wisdom that keeps you from future trouble. Proverbs 22:3 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. But the simple just pass on and are punished. Prudent man, I've told you that when I travel, because I have been caught in years past with lust. So when I travel and I'm in a hotel room by myself, I don't watch television. Well, what else are you going to do? See, it's interesting how people respond. I thought you wanted to be free. I want to be free and watch TV. Which do you want more? Because see, Jesus said, if your hand offends, you cut it off. You want your hand or heaven? Want to keep your hand and go to hell? Want to keep your hand and stay bound? And I'm not saying all bondages take you to hell, but I'm just saying that if you are unwilling to address those sins in your life, and you're not willing to do what it takes to be free, then you are in danger because you didn't take God seriously. Now don't think that I just said that if you haven't overcome a sin, that you're on your way to hell. I did not say that. We're saved because of grace, not because of how good we are. But Jesus expects us, if your hand is causing you to sin, don't let that go, because sin sucks you in and can take you to hell. Cut the hand off. In other words, do something drastic to get away from that situation. Cut off those friends. And when they call, just say, you know what, man, my life's different now. I'm going a different direction. So, and they'll say, what are you talking about? Then deal with the pain of cutting it off. Because you got to be free. See? Give no opportunity. Get out of the place of temptation. Completely out. 2 Timothy 2:22 says, flee also youthful lusts. Flee also youthful lusts. Get away from those guys hanging out telling those jokes. Yeah, but those are the cool guys that I work with. Those are the bound guys that you work with. A companion of fools will be destroyed. But he who walks with the wise will be wise. He who walks with the free will be free. So you get out of there. Get out of there. What do you value more? See, at some point you got to make a decision. What do you want? You want to be free? Then be free. I know at home we've got cable television at home. We don't have any extra channels, just all the basic low package. That's what we have. But you know, a lot of those we don't want to watch. And we don't want our kids watching it. So we got the whole thing where you set up a security code so that certain ratings and certain channels, I don't care what's on there, I just don't trust those channels. And I'm not talking about Playboy. That's an obvious. I'm talking about channels that other people would say, well, that's entertaining. But let me tell you, they got some stuff on there that's more than entertaining. It is bondage waiting to happen. Hooks galore. And so we lock all those up. And it takes four numbers to unlock it. I have two, and my wife has two. See, we don't play that game like, well, it's so the kids. Kids, nothing, man. I don't want anybody in our house having a weak moment. How many of you know it takes a weak moment to get hooked again? Is that right? Man, Romans 13:14 says, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. How much provision? None. Yeah, but I can... None. You want to be free? Extreme measures here. The Word of God is powerful. It's funny, in natural eating, we would never think about this. You know, I remember this man of God, he was telling his teenage daughter, you know, I don't want you guys watching the movie with the cussing and with that stuff in it. And she said, just got a little bit. And so one day she had all her friends over and they were arguing about watching some movie. And he said, all right, go ahead and watch it, you know. And so he went and made a big tray of brownies. But he went out to the backyard and picked up just a little bit of dog poop. Mixed it all up in there. Just a little bit, though. Just a little bit, mixed it all up in there to where you wouldn't be able to taste it, probably. He didn't try. And he got it out there and he said, who wants brownies? And they all come, I want brownies. And he served it. Let me serve it all out. And they all grabbed it. And just before they took a bite, he said, let me just tell you, before you eat it, hang on. I mixed just a little bit of dog poop in it. something? You won't put it in your mouth and into your stomach, but you'll take stuff and put it into your heart and into your mind and wonder, why do I struggle? Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever man sows, that he'll also reap. Somebody says, well, I've been sowing a lot of junk. Well, here's what you do. Start sowing some stuff that'll weed out that junk. And stop sowing the junk. And it'll be like that bucket. You'll get flushed out quick. Be just a few weeks and months before you're completely free. But when you get free, don't go back to the old sowing. Right? Because whatever you sow, sow the word. Amen. Isn't that good? Praise God. Let's stand up. Bless the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's thank God for his word. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the truth. Thank you for overcoming sin. Praise God. You condemned sin in the flesh. You took advantage of sin and the flesh and figured out how to eliminate its effectiveness over us by the truth of the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Everybody say this out loud. Say, Father God, you know that I have sinned. You know what I've struggled with. I confess it to you now. Out in the open. I tell you it is sin. Wrong. I renounce it. I don't want any part of it. But I need your strength. I need your help. I need the power of your word to go into effect in my life. So I put these principles to work. In the name of Jesus. Satan, I tell you right now, from this point forward, you have no right to bind me, to hook me, to hold me down. In the name of Jesus, I bind you and command you to stop your lies, take your guilt, take your condemnation, and get out. I receive the joy of the Lord. I receive the peace of God in my heart. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm not that old person anymore. I'm a brand new person, washed in the blood of Jesus, strengthened by the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Word of God. I've got a new life now. I'm dead to sin, but I'm alive to God. God's going to use me to accomplish big things. And I declare myself to be free from sin. I'm free. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm pure and I'm holy before the Lord my God. I got a fresh start. Things are looking up. I'm a different person now. And the Word of God is flushing me out, loosing those bondages, and setting me free forever and ever. I declare it in Jesus' name.